It was in Jesus, a Savior for all. That He didn't limit salvation just to one group, but He came to extend salvation for all people. You know, He is the wind beneath our wings. He lifts us up and raises us up. You know, where would we be without Jesus? Where would we be without Him? We would still be down in the pit. We would still be in a low position without Jesus. Isn't this the gospel? That Jesus came down to exalt us. He came down from His high position in heaven to raise us up, to lift us up, to be the wind beneath our wings. That's the gospel, and that's the message of the cross. Is that He was lifted up to die so that we could be lifted up to eternal life. And that's what Jesus did for us. Sit down and go study it out. It's an amazing passage. Jesus stands up in the synagogue and reads, it says He was handed the scroll of Isaiah the prophet, and He reads from Isaiah. And this is really the inauguration of Jesus' preaching ministry. He's got a captive audience of Jews. He's got people that He can unite behind Him. He's got these people that He can share His message with. And so Jesus gets up and He shares from Isaiah. But when He reads from Isaiah, if you actually study it out and look, He omits some incredible stuff. He actually omits certain parts of Isaiah 61 and 58 that were taken and used by the Jews to show that, hey, we're going to take over the Gentiles. That we're going to take their stuff, that they're going to serve us and be our slaves. And He actually did away with that. And in a way, He was making it clear that, look, I'm a Savior for the Jews and the Gentiles. And the people did not like this. The people did not like this at all. Now, Jesus goes on. Initially, they were kind of a little upset about it, but Jesus goes on, and He uses two examples in that passage. And He uses the example of Naaman the Syrian, who was a Syrian, not a Jew, and He uses the example of the widow of Zarephath, a woman. So He uses a man and a woman who both were not Jewish, they were Gentiles. And Jesus, I believe, did this for an important reason, to show that He was a Savior for all people, that He was not exclusive. You know, He goes on to fuel the flame, and He uses these two examples of faith, and they're both Gentiles. Now, He could have lifted up Abraham or Sarah or Moses. He's got this audience of Jews, but He challenges their perceptions, and He challenges their thinking by showing them that this is not just for the Jews, this is for everybody. Jesus didn't back down from His convictions, and it infuriated the crowd so much that they went to throw Him off a cliff. They took Him to a cliff in the town. They were about to throw Him off. That's how much He upset these people. He didn't back down on His convictions, but He chose to lift up the faith of two Gentiles, a man and a woman at that. And I believe that those convictions are seen in this prayer of Mary. That it wasn't that we're going to come and we're going to attack you back, but she saw that this is not a battle against flesh and blood, like it says in Ephesians. But our battle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, let's turn to Matthew 15, verse 21. And we're going to zero in on a scripture in Matthew 15 where Jesus encounters a mother and has a very interesting interaction with her. The thing about this mother was she's not Jewish. And we're going to see what happens in this story. In Matthew 15, in verse 21, it says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre, and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to Him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So His disciples came to Him and urged Him, send her away, for she keeps crying after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before Him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is an amazing story, and there's so much in here. You know, I've got to be honest, in the past, the scripture was a little bit troubling for me. As I read the scripture, I looked at Jesus, and I thought, why would you do that, Jesus? The way that Jesus speaks to this woman challenged my perceptions of Jesus as a Savior for all, right? We look at this scripture, and we say, why would He talk to her like that? Come on, Jesus, don't you have a heart? woman is crying out for her child. Isn't Jesus supposed to be the Savior of all mankind? The story opens with this Canaanite woman, a Syrophoenician woman who is a Gentile crying out to Jesus. And in humility, she begs for help. Isn't this the kind of follower, Jesus, that you would want? Isn't this somebody that you'd want to be a part of your disciples? This is a humble woman right here. She even addresses Jesus as Lord, Son of David. She gives Jesus, she's a Canaanite, and yet she addresses Jesus with his messianic Jewish title. What this tells us is that Jesus was well known even to the Gentiles. The Gentiles knew that he was the Messiah, the Son of David. This speaks volumes to what Jesus had been doing in the community, because this woman knew that he had helped other Gentiles, that he could help her. This shows that he was well known to them and his reputation preceded him. And so she goes on to spell out the situation to Jesus. She spells it out and she says, "Have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." You know, this is a hurting woman. And many of us can relate as parents, can't we? This woman was suffering. She was going through it. She was hurting. You know, some of us can relate. You know, I've been working with the youth ministry for a long time, and I know a lot of you have come to me saying, "Ross, my child must be possessed by a demon, because I don't know why they'd be doing that." You can't tell me you haven't had a day where you thought your child was demon-possessed. You're like, "Man, I got to spank that thing out of you. Come out, Lord Jesus. That thing is in this child, and he got to get out." But isn't that the only explanation sometimes? Why would you do that? You know, sometimes you're like, "Why would you do that?" Some of the things our kids do, but we love them. Amen. Some of us have children that have gone through health problems, or currently are going through health problems. So we can imagine ourselves in her shoes when our kids go through difficult things. We can imagine ourselves and have empathy. You know, there's a lot of things that I admire about this mom, and I want to point out, it's interesting, what I love here is that when she addresses Jesus, she says, "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly." You know, her daughter is the one with the illness. Her daughter is the one who's going through it. Her daughter is the one who's sick. But she says, "I'm the one who needs mercy." Because she feels it so deeply. Because that's the love of a mother. That when our children go through things, that we go through it too. That we feel it. And that's a God-given relationship that teaches us how God feels about us when we go through things. There is no greater empathy than that of a mother for her children. How a mom feels for her child. You know, recently we took Emmy to get a shot. She had to get her vaccinations, and so you see the feeling of sadness for a mother for her child. You see Emmy being led like a lamb to the slaughter. Right? She's like, she had no idea what was about to happen. Now, you know, we know it was for her good. The nurses are great, and they were saying, they had to give her 3 shots. She had never got a shot before. She got a couple pricks in the hospital, but it wasn't, you know, she probably didn't remember that. But this is going to be a time where she really, she hadn't felt pain. This is the first time she's really feeling pain. And so they're like, "We're going to go bam, bam, bam. You know, we're going to hit one leg, the other leg, the other leg. And then it'll be over. And then you be packed up to leave because she's going to be crying, right?" And so this was a picture of her post-shot. And you see that, you can see her teardrops right there, right there, right there, big ones, right? I'm telling you, I wanted to cry so bad. I was fighting back tears. Manami was tearing up because when our kids cry, don't we feel it? When our kids are hurting, we hurt. It was tough. You know, you kind of get upset at the doctor. "Why are you doing that?" Even though we knew it was coming, it still hurt. Even though we knew it was for her own good, it still hurt. When our children are in pain, it hurts us. And now, see, I'm only talking about a couple of vaccinations. But what about when our kids have disabilities? What about when our kids are going through some serious stuff? There is way more challenge. This is a light thing. Some of you, I admire you. Because I admire mothers who deal with their children who have health challenges. You know, who have learning disabilities. That can be very frustrating. Who have, children with emotional challenges. That can be very difficult and a very real thing. Children with food allergies. Let me tell you, working with camp, that is crazy stuff. Food allergies. I never knew there were so many food allergies. But that's a hard thing because you're preparing the meals and you're trying to make sure that they don't eat something that could kill them. I admire mothers who deal with this. And I'm floored by the patience and the love of a mother to take care of her child. I think that's why you're the mother and we're the dad, you know, because I don't know if we have that kind of patience. But here's where things start to get a little puzzling. It gets puzzling because Jesus doesn't answer a word. He doesn't answer a word to this woman. He gives her the cold shoulder. It's like he acts like she's not even there. And don't you start to feel like, what's going on? Why would you do that? I thought you care about women. I thought God was the God of all comfort. You know, now here's the thing. We look at Jesus through Western glasses. We look at Jesus through an American perspective. But Jesus was a Jewish Middle Easterner in first century Palestine. And we got to look at him in his cultural context. Culturally, Jesus was actually acting the way he was supposed to. He wasn't supposed to talk to this woman. He wasn't supposed to respond to her. Culturally, he was acting appropriately. What Jesus did with the Samaritan woman at the well was totally wrong by the standards of the day. That was not acceptable. You weren't supposed to do that. So here Jesus says, let me play this out and let me act according to the culture. And he doesn't respond to the Gentile woman. But we got to remember as we walk through this, I'm going to walk through it quickly, is that everything Jesus did was for a reason. Everything that Jesus said was for a reason. And I believe he wasn't just being cold-hearted, but we're going to see why did he do this. You know, Jesus takes this encounter as a chance to test this woman's faith and to teach his disciples at the same time. What's amazing about Jesus, you know, we're all about Jesus, right? That's our theme. What's amazing about Jesus is that he was teaching this person and that person and you and me 2,000 years later all at the same time. It's unbelievable what he did and the wisdom in the words that he said. You know, we think, doesn't he know that she's emotionally hanging by a thread and hurting over her daughter's pain? And I like to remind us of 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You know, see, God will not allow us to be tempted or tested beyond what we can handle, beyond what we can endure. When we go through times of testing, we feel overwhelmed, right? We can think, this is too hard. God, why did you give this to me? Why do I have this situation? Why is my child, for her, why is my child going through this? But whenever we think this is too hard, you got to remember that God believes in you, and that's why you're going through it. He would not have given you that situation if he didn't think that you could handle it. So when he gives you a tough situation, you got to say, wow, thank you, God. You really think a lot of me because you gave me this difficult situation. It reminds me, I played lacrosse in high school. Now, I was a varsity letter winner in lacrosse, and I was a captain of my lacrosse team. And it reminds me, in high school, I had a high school lacrosse coach named Coach Klipstein. And my Coach Klipstein, he was the defensive coach, and I'd be on the field, and I could hear him yelling at me from the sidelines. Ross! You know, he'd be yelling at me, go do this, go do that. He was really a strong guy and very hard line, and he had a clipboard, and he would throw his clipboard on the ground. He'd be so upset, you know, if we let the opponent score a goal on us, he'd take it and he'd just throw it on the ground. You know, he always had notes for me after games. Well, see, when you did here, you were standing in the wrong place, you know, or you got to make sure your head's on a swivel. You got to look around, you know, you got to make sure that you're looking at this. He was always coaching me, and at times it became too tough. At times I got really discouraged. One time I got so discouraged, he could see it on my face, and so he pulled me aside, and he said, you know, Ross, I wouldn't pull you aside after every game and talk to you if I didn't believe in you. If I thought that you were never going to amount to anything as a player, I would just let you play. But you have potential to be great. And so I'm going to coach you and I'm going to pull you aside. I'm going to tell you these things, but it's because I believe in you. You know, coaches put their best athletes in the best competitions. They put their best athletes. You don't put your you know, last string guy in the Olympics. In the Olympics, you put your number one athlete. And so a coach will put their best person up to the best test. The harder the test, the better the athlete. You know, I believe that the test that Jesus was about to put this woman through reflected that he believed in her. That he already knew the level of her faith. He already knew that she was a woman of great faith before he encountered her. And that he was putting her faith to the test really to teach his disciples a lesson. He was putting her to the test to show her faith off. because they have been faithless at times. And he's about to convict their socks off. You know, Jesus' disciples, they were strugglers, right? They were strugglers. That's why he picked them. You know, I believe that they needed to walk with Jesus to make it, right? They had to be with him because that was the only way they were going to get to heaven. They looked down on Gentiles. They even urged Jesus to send her away. She's bothering us. They didn't care about the situation with her daughter. And they said, she keeps crying out after us. Send her away. They didn't have this compassion. And I believe it's because she was a Gentile, not a Jew. In their mind, she was the enemy. And so finally, Jesus replies to the woman and says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. You know, the first part of the test was just kind of ignoring her and saying, will she be persistent? But then when she does come up and talk to him, he says, look, I was only sent here for Jewish people. Hold up, Jesus. Doesn't that sound kind of exclusive? Right? Doesn't that sound, wait a minute. But see, that's what the disciples were expecting him to say because he was the Messiah. He was only supposed to come to them in their minds. I thought he cares about Gentiles too. The whole time he's playing out his disciples' expectations as what would they want him to say. But this woman was persistent. She was determined to help her daughter, and she continues to pass each stage of the test, each of the trials. She's determined to help her daughter, and at the climax of the test, Jesus compares this woman to a dog. To a dog. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. What? You're like, oh my goodness, did you just call this woman a dog? I'm reading this like, you know, I don't know what situation I could call a mom a dog and I'm not going to get slapped, right? Any of us, if we do this, this was bad, right? We look at this, how could Jesus say that? And here's why. It's because there's writings that show in history that the Jews viewed the Gentiles like dogs. That was their perception. You're a dirty, filthy animal. One step higher than a pig. That was how the Jews viewed the Gentiles. And Jesus had to expose, sometimes you got to expose the evil thoughts to deal with it. And so he put it on the table saying, you think of this woman as a dog. Well, let's see what she says. Jesus simultaneously exposes the disciples' hearts and their view of this Gentile woman while also testing the woman to see would she fire back an insult at him. Remember the Samaritan woman? She said, well, you Jews say we should worship over here, but we say we should worship here. She tried to bring this political thing into it. And he wants to see, is she going to fire an insult back about, well, you're a Jew and you guys look down on us? But see, this faithful and humble mother turns this affront into a witty remark. She's like, hey, listen, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table. She doesn't take it personally. She doesn't care. She says, I'll absorb the insult if it's going to mean my daughter gets healed. She didn't care what happened to her. That's what a mom would do, right? Wouldn't a mom rather be hurt than you see your daughter hurt? And she says, I'll take your insult so that my daughter can be healed. She didn't care what she was called. She didn't care how much, she didn't care the amount of what she got from Jesus. She said, you could even give me just a tiny little bit. Because she knew that even a crumb from Jesus was enough to heal her daughter. Even a crumb was enough. You know, this convicts me because sometimes don't we feel like we don't get enough from God? Don't we feel like you're not giving me enough? Don't we feel like not content, not grateful for our relationship with God, for the church, and for the people around us? See, this woman was grateful to the point where she said, even just a crumb is enough for me. And just like that, the disciples were convicted like nobody's business. Because the very woman they had been trying to send away, the very woman who they looked at as annoying, as unclean, as an animal, Jesus turns and says, he says to her, woman, you have great faith. You know, I dare say that this woman had greater faith than they did. This woman put the disciples to shame. And I can imagine after this encounter, the disciples were like, oh my goodness. Their worldview was expanded because Jesus was showing them, your exclusive thinking, you leave out the fact that there are faithful people in other nations. And to top that off, this story happens between two parallel stories in which the disciples lacked the faith to feed 5,000 and then 4,000 people. See, they didn't think they had enough. This woman said a crumb would be enough. They had fish and they had loaves and they said that's not enough. But this woman had greater faith than they did. A woman, a Canaanite Gentile woman, was who Jesus lifted up. He put her through a test. And at first it didn't look so good, but we see why later, right? You know, by contrast, this woman said, all I need is a crumb of Jesus for my daughter. And this morning as we go celebrate Mother's Day, I want to ask you, where is your faith at? Where is your faith today? Is a crumb from Jesus enough for you? Is a crumb enough? The leftovers, something that was discarded from someone else's meal is what she said, I'll take that. You know, we have a lot more to work with than we think we do. You have a lot more than you think you have to work with. We got to remember, church, it's not about how much you got, but it's about who you're working with. It's not about the amount of food, but it's about the God we serve. You know, with God, even a crumb is enough. With God, it's a mustard seed of faith. That's what we need. You know, how is Jesus testing you and teaching you in your life today, in your life lately? Are we easily insulted, or do we look at it as an opportunity to be faithful? You know, we love learning when times are good, but what about when times are hard? I believe that's when God teaches us the best lessons. And here, God taught this woman and his disciples an important lesson about faith. Sometimes God uses the most challenging times to teach us the most valuable lessons. You know, this woman, in her low position, she was in a low position, Jesus exalted her as a woman of great faith. They thought of her as a dog, and Jesus said, her faith is greater than yours. Her request was granted, and her daughter was healed. And just like Mary, she was exalted and lifted up by Jesus. And in contrast, his disciples got humbled. Amen? And amen for the fact that even when we get humbled, you know, if we can, you know, humble ourselves, God will lift us up. This morning, as we celebrate our mothers, let's remember these examples of faith from the Bible. Let's remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, who influenced Jesus. She had this view, and she saw that God's vision was much greater than just the Jews. That it was for everybody, no matter what skin color, no matter what socioeconomic status you have. We got to remember she understood that Jesus came to exalt the lowly. And let's remember that Jesus came as a Savior for all, that he valued both men and women, both Jew and Gentile. Let's imitate the faith and persistence and humility of this Canaanite woman. And let's all live with the attitude that all I need is a crumb from Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's our lesson for today. Now, as we close out, it's a very special day because there's going to be a baptism to close out our service. We're going to have a baptism. We can come up on the stage. We are going to have the Murdoch family come up because Blair Murdoch is getting baptized today. We're going to have a baptism after which we'll sing a song, but if we get the mic right here.